When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Know the Chargers and the Chiefs are going to play a fun football game.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The third time tonight, the Chargers have gone for it on fourth down and not made it.
It's been a long time since Kelce's had one of his buck 50 dominating games.
Kelce at the 10-5, touchdown! Kelce!
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, NBC News political correspondent Steve Kornacki. Inspiration for the film American Underdog, Kurt and Brenda Warner. Plus, Viking safety Harrison Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes, everybody. It is hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. The Warners are here. Brenda and Kurt Warner, their movie, I can't tell you how beautiful it is. Obviously, I know them, but I also know their story and the way that the filmmakers and writers and actors and actresses in American Underdog tell the story of Kurt and Brenda Warner's love affair and love of one another and family and their faith and the way that Kurt got to go and win a Super Bowl for the Rams. It really is, again, like, I know the story and watching it, I'm like, oh my God, it really was that amazing. It's out in Christmas theater, in theaters on Christmas Day, and it's a beautiful movie, and the Warners are going to be here to talk about it. Harrison Smith of the Vikings in hour number three. But joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show once again, and the Mercedes-Benz van phone line, is one of the best at talking politics and talking about numbers that there is anybody on television. And I love watching him on election nights on MSNBC and on NBC News. Steve Kornacki, who will be on Football Night in America on Sunday night on NBC and on Peacock here on the Mercedes-Benz van phone line. How are you, Steve?
Rich, I'm doing great. This is a fun time of the year. It's nice to talk to you.
Yes, last time I spoke to you, I was in Connecticut. You were in Japan. I was hosting Tokyo Gold, and I asked you how many pairs of khakis that you brought to the Olympics. That was the last time you and I spoke. I'm sure you recall that.
I still have the pants. I know that.
That's good. That's good to know. So how do you go about figuring out all of the possibilities for what's going on in the NFL playoff race? Walk me through your process that you get ready for Sunday night this time.
I got to tell you, our huge assist to us from Pro Football Focus, PFF, our data partner. These guys are really on top of their game and learned a lot working with them. It's a very new way for me to kind of watch Sunday games and to prep for it, really. But it's just sort of on Sunday afternoon, I'll be sitting there at any given moment kind of jotting down who's ahead in every game and looking at if it finishes this way, what's it going to do to the wild card race? What's it going to do to the division title race? What's it going to do to the top seed race? And, you know, if this one game switches, how is it going to change? And just being aware of all the contingencies, and we can find a number for everything, and we can watch them, you know, kind of bounce around all day Sunday. It's exciting. It's a lot to juggle, but have a blast doing it.
Well, I guess let's start with mixing both of your parlances here. Let's start with the game in Los Angeles County last night, right? How did the Chargers' loss affect their chances of making the playoffs based on your numerals and numbers right in front of you, Steve?
Yeah, not too significantly in terms of making the playoffs. We have them down to a 69% chance to make the playoffs now. That number had been at 76 coming in. So it's a, a small hit for the playoff loss. The big loss for the Chargers is the division title possibility. You know, win that game over the Chiefs last night, they got a real shot at winning the division. Instead, now it's the Chiefs really in the driver's seat in the not just in the AFC West. Now, if you look at that top seed race, the Chiefs, we've been watching their number just rise every week. Mm. The Chiefs are at a 33% shot right now to get the top seed in the AFC.
Oh, my gosh. So 1-3 shot of them having the entire playoffs come through Arrowhead. And that number, I imagine, improved vastly with that overtime win on Thursday night. Same with their division hopes, right? I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, look, the Chiefs are playing so great right now. You just look like it's, you know, they're kind of back, obviously. The Chiefs we used to know. The problem they've got looking at that top seed is right now the tiebreakers, you know, the conference record would potentially be the tiebreaker if you had a three-way tie there. They're three games behind the Pats in the loss column.
Wow.
In terms of the conference record. They also have that head-to-head loss to Tennessee earlier in the year, so they've got to get a game up, I think, on both Tennessee and New England. So it's not just win out for KC. They're going to need one or both. They're going to need both New England and Tennessee to lose a game.
Which is why that's as low as 33%, even though it's high. Look, 33% with three games to go is something the Chiefs would have signed for when they were 3-4. But that's why that number isn't any higher, is because you're factoring in the fact that if they're in any other heads-up tiebreak with Tennessee, obviously head-to-head knocks them out. And if they're in a multiple mosh pit tiebreak and conference record is a tiebreaker, then their previous losses to the Chargers and obviously, their other losses like the ones to Tennessee, the one to Baltimore, one to Buffalo, that's what's holding them down right now.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I mean, talk about a turnaround. You got the Pats sitting at 2-4 in the middle of October, now looking at a 37% shot, the best of anybody in the AFC at the one seed. And the thing the Patriots have, again, besides the win streak right now, 7-1 conference record, you know, and the win over Tennessee. So the Pats get the head-to-head over Tennessee.
Yeah.
And three games in the loss column against Kansas City for that tiebreaker.
7-1. So, yeah, I mean, their losses to Dallas and Tampa, those are the losses that I guess you want to have. And New Orleans.
Right.
That's it. They were only conference loss to Miami.
The other conference, yep.
Wow. Okay. So of the teams that are on the outside looking in right now in the AFC, I don't know who came up with this, Steve. As you know, I've been involved with the NFL since 2003 and day in, day out, and at SportsCenter from 96 on. I don't know who came up with the phrase in the hunt, but we here at the Rich Eisen Show, we call it sniffing it. That's the way we refer to it. Those teams who are sniffing it, because they're sniffing the playoffs. Those who are sniffing it in the AFC 8 on down, which team has the best chance percentage-wise of making the playoffs right now?
So it's changed a little bit this week, and I think it's the COVID situation that's done it. If we'd been having this conversation Monday morning, the answer would have been Cleveland. Cleveland by a few points over Cincinnati. Cleveland obviously just decimated, all sorts of question marks around the COVID situation. And what's happened is we've seen Cleveland's chances, the probability on paper of winning the game this weekend against Las Vegas, we've seen their chances plummet by about 20 points this week as all this COVID news has come out. And what that's done is it's dropped their overall chances of getting that wild card down to 41%, which is now the same number as Cincinnati. So you're looking at Cleveland and Cincinnati with an equal shot. They're both sitting there, you know, Cleveland right now in the 8 spot, Cincinnati in the 9 spot. They both have that 41% shot. You know, Cleveland would be in better position, I think, at full strength going into this game against the Raiders. But if they don't get the win this weekend, obviously they're in big trouble.
National political correspondent of NBC News and a man who will be doing all this with fresh new numbers on Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America on NBC Sports and Peacock, Steve Kornacki here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's turn our attention to the NFC. You've got not one, not two, but three 10-3 teams sitting atop, and not just any teams, but the defending Super Bowl champs. Two guys who were at 12 in the MVP race in Rodgers and Brady. Who do you have with the best chance entering week 15 NFC games of being the top seed there right now?
Yeah, right now it is Green Bay, but I mean, it's 43% for the Packers to get the top seed. It's 41% for the Bucks to get the top seed. I think it's, you look at it, two ways here. Number one, just where are they right now? The Packers have the tiebreakers right now. It's that conference record. You know, the 8-2 is Green Bay's NFC mark right now. Tampa is 6-3. So they would get that tiebreaker. And I think if it came to it, Green Bay would likely have the next tiebreaker. That would be the common games. They would also have the tiebreaker there. When you play it out for both teams, they also, each one of them has, Tampa Bay, in fact, has the easiest remaining schedule of any team in the NFL. But I think Green Bay's is like the third or fourth easiest. So they both have, you know, on paper, pretty manageable paths to win out.
Okay. And what about the Cowboys? Where do they sit right now for you?
The big move for the Cowboys was obviously get that win against Washington Sunday, and in the driver's seat, pretty much got the division under wraps. To actually get the top seed, 5% chance right now. We got Arizona at 10 and Dallas at 5.
What about the NFC West? How big of a W was the Rams over the Cardinals on Monday night for that calculation? And the Niners obviously are still potentially in the mix right here, although deep down. But what do you got for me on that front for the NFC West?
Yeah, I mean, the Rams now 97%, obviously, to make the playoffs. They're solidified there. In terms of the division, so many of these divisions are basically settled right now. I think the NFC West on paper might be the third most competitive. And Arizona's got an 88% shot still of winning the division. So, the Rams are still kind of a long shot there. But what they did, obviously, was just really, I think, shore up their playoff position.
Well, they're only one back. Is there any numbers to support why 88%? And only I guess a smaller, much smaller percentage for the Rams right there. Well, anything? Is there a tiebreak we're not seeing on that front?
If it comes to that strength of victory, the conference record is the same right now. If it comes to that strength of victory one, which I think would be next right now, Arizona would have the be significantly better than the Rams there.
Okay, fantastic. There's so much. I love this sort of stuff, Steve. And you're terrific at it. So I guess let's just I'll throw you a curveball if you don't mind. Good, you've handled curveballs. If you could compare Urban Meyer's head coaching tenure to a political career, whose would it be? What do you got for me on that front?
Oh boy. Well, let me think of somebody. Who
a campaign, a presidential campaign of somebody's. Urban Meyer's NFL coaching tenure. Whose presidential campaign does that remind you?
I'll give you a fellow Ohioan.
Okay.
John Glenn. President, you know, the astronaut, the hero.
Yeah.
Can't miss 1984 presidential candidate. Got in the race, and from that moment forward, everything that could go wrong went wrong. I think technically that campaign may still be in debt today.
Oh, wow. What about Giuliani's presidential campaign?
That's not bad, too. I was looking for the Ohio connection, but I think the Republican side would go Rudy.
Okay, there you go. We got to be fair and balanced. You know, I'm sorry. I know that's somebody else's network's a phraseology, but I figured I'll just give you that idea right there. I mean,
the Rudy one I remember was $55 million and one delegate.
Well, I don't know how much Urban's 5-year contract was, but let's just say it was like $10 million a year, maybe. That's $50 million in two wins. You know? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's close. Right?
I gotta say, which one of those I'm trying to we gotta factor in inflation a little bit, but yeah, that's actually not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could try that one on for size at some point, you know, whenever you want to cross streams of the things you are expert in. Thanks for the time, Steve. Let's do this more often as the playoffs heat up and all that good stuff. Let's do
Sounds
it.
Sounds good, Rich. Happy to talk to you.
Right back at you. That's Steve Kornacki right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The John Glenn or Rudy Giuliani presidential campaigns of coaches.
Love it.
I mean, I know it's not the same level of scandal, but John Edwards, right? I mean, he was up there 1 year.
And then, for a second.
Poof, gone. You got to get someone who was definitely like surefire, and then poof, over. Yeah. Couple primaries in and gone. Urban Meyer, my word. DJ didn't hold back, and DJ never talks that way.
I know.
When I asked him about that, right? Never. Fire. Terzo in Iowa. Let's take his call before the Warners join us. What's up, Terzo? How you been, brother?
What's up, Rich, man? Say it with your chest. You got me all pumped up today, man. Loved hearing that earlier.
It's just out of character for me, although it's been in character for me for 3 weeks. And TJ hopes that I never lose this.
Never, ever.
I don't want you to lose it either, man. It is so much fun. Let's go. I love it.
I'm letting my freak flag fly, sir. What's going on there in the heartland? What's going on there in the heartland in Iowa? What do you got for me? What's up?
Well, just keeping a couple people out of jail for the holidays.
Oh.
Trying to spread a little Christmas cheer, you know.
I hope they deserve it. I hope they deserve it. Okay. You know?
Hey, Rich, you just got to do what you got to do.
I got it, Terzo.
Got a job for your client.
You're a counselor.
Last night was a fun game. I liked the moxie of them going for it on fourth down. I love the game plan if that's what you're doing, but I still think at some point in time during the game, you got to make those adjustments. One field goal wins you that game. I think you need to take one of them. You know, either any of the four. I think there was an opportunity and probably a reason to do that. Also, I'm really excited to watch Tiger play golf this weekend. Just in the sheer fact that a lot of people probably don't get that opportunity to go back out and compete like that. It's going to be cool to see a father-son thing here before the holiday.
Him and his kid. Because his kid must have been so freaked out about what happened to daddy, you know, and the fact that they get to now play golf in the same calendar year. I love it. Cool. Thanks for bringing that up, Terzo.
It's amazing. It really is.
And really appreciate
I've had clients that have lost legs, so it's pretty neat that he's going to still be out there.
Terzo, you take care of yourself, man. You be well. That's Terzo and I, one of our favorites here on the Rich Eisen Show.
All rise.
That's right.
PGA Tour has some clips of Tiger and Charlie out in the practice. Charlie hit one from like 100 out to 2 inches, and you're just like, this kid would beat all of us.
Oh, there's no question.
Like, he would have to give us strokes.
Of course.
Like, a lot of them.
How old is he now?
13.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I guess, you know, he's a man in the eyes of the Lord at age 13. I would give him, you know, you give gifts and... In Chai, which is the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, okay. To life.
He might be. He's still so 12.
If he's 13, the reason why I bring it up, that's how many strokes I'd want from him. 18.
Yeah.
I'd want one hole.
Absolutely.
I look at the way he's got his daddy's swing. He's got his daddy's mannerism. He's got his daddy's lean.
Yeah.
He's got his daddy's, like, way he leans on his club.
I'll retweet it right now from Rich Eisen Show.
Come on.
PGA Tour has a side-by-side of, like, everything.
From now or no, last year? When
from
they did
last year. The twirl, the lean, the look, the strut, everything is exactly the same.
And if he's got his dad's want to and that beautiful diamond between the temples of being able to focus, look out. That's all. We're all
look out.
We're all
new generation's gonna get.
We're all on the Mike Douglas show this weekend. Just watching this kid go at it.
Whole new
like
generation.
Tiger was set three, right? Or three? How old was he when he was there with Bob Hope on the Mike Douglas show?
Yeah,
I think it was three
or
four.
Or three. Yeah,
come
young,
on, man.
Young.
I would have needed 18 strokes from that kid too. Let's take a break. The Warners. When we come back, Brenda and Kurt in studio. This is gonna be awesome. What a night it was at their premiere on Wednesday of American Underdog. This will be fun. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I told you on Wednesday's show that Susie and I, my wife and I, went to the Los Angeles premiere of American Underdog, and it is a beautiful movie, and it is about the story of Kurt and Brenda Warner. And when Kurt went on his magical carpet ride from unknown to Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP, the whole world was saying, this is a movie, it should be a movie, and now it is, and it's out on Christmas Day. And Zachary Levi plays Kurt, and Anna Paquin plays Brenda, and they are awesome in it. And I could not be happier that this film that is perfect for our times and what everybody needs in our world is a good feel-good movie, good sports movie coming out on Christmas Day. And joining me here to talk about all of that are my two dear friends whose life is right there on the silver screen, Kurt and Brenda Warner. Good to see you guys.
It is good to be here. And you don't know how happy it makes us for you to say, it's a good movie.
You know, I know you said that, you know, backstage that, you know, you're kind of a little bit concerned sometimes when you see friends.
Well, I mean, because, you know, it's hard because you have friends and we've had a number of people see it. And, of course, they're like, oh, it's good. And, you know, a lot of times you're like, well, what are they going to say?
Right.
And so when people see it in the movie theater and just listening to you on your show yesterday, like genuinely they're like, hey guys, it's good.
It is good.
I mean, it's good. I'm excited because it's good. And I don't have to sit here and tell Kurt, no, oh, it's good. But how good that makes us feel because that's what you want at the end of the day is you want people to connect to this movie. You want them to be excited about this movie. And you want to make a good movie. You don't want it to be something that's out there forever and people go, eh, it's all right.
Well, I mean, you'll know if people are telling you the truth because if they go higher register on you, like, I know it's a good movie. You know, like that's when you should get a little bit concerned. You know, it was really good. Yeah. Like that's the problem. I genuinely mean it. It's a beautiful movie. And and it's, what is it like, Brenda, and you, Kurt, too, about seeing such a personal story being told like this for the whole world to see?
Well, I feel vulnerable, and you know me well enough that is not what I'm comfortable being.
Yes, that is not your default.
It is not, and yet, you know, I really believe it's going to be worth that because we show the good, the bad, and the ugly about what real life is, and I think people relate to that. I really want a single mom sitting there watching it think, if she can do this and she waited for someone to look at her that way, I hope that single mom waits. And I also hope that people that, you know, lose somebody, like I've lost people in my life, I hope that they just can take a deep breath and think, okay, I can get through it. There is another side. You know, so much is happening in this world right now, even watching tornado footage in the movie.
Yes.
You know, people are picking up and cleaning up all over the country. I mean, there's so many things to relate to. So even though I had to be vulnerable and share it all, I really do think it's going to make a difference in people's lives. So that makes me, you know it's worth it.
How about you, Kurt?
I mean, it's, you know, again, it starts with people liking it. And once people like it, you take a deep breath and, you know, so much of our journey, I remember us kind of going, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to be here? I know Brenda, obviously, with some of the personal stuff, why me? And you see that in the movie. And, you know, not that we still wanted to go through it or right now it's okay that we went through it, but you get to this point and you go, well, maybe this is why. Maybe we've got an opportunity here with this movie and our story to impact people and to encourage people and inspire and challenge people in different ways with where they find themselves right now. You mentioned it. How many people find themselves in an underdog role now that never thought they would be here 3 years ago? And so that's kind of our hope. And I'm excited about that. As much as you have to put stuff out there and hope that, you know, the people involved do the right thing with the movie and they share the right story and people connect with it, we really do believe that this story has a chance to really impact people and touch people.
Kurt and Brenda Warner here in person on the Rich Eisen Show. And to me, what makes a terrific sports movie is obviously there's got to be someone to root for. Check that box.
Right.
Then there's a love story. There's always going to be a love story in there. And check that box. And then there's frequently, in sports movies, more often than not, a father-son story. And this movie checks the love story and the father-son story in the same box.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. Were you guys concerned to make Zach sort of a focus of this film from the very beginning when you saw the script?
I was not concerned. I didn't think this movie could be made without that. Because what you see in this movie is, to me, he's the glue that breaks down the walls that both of us have put up, you know, where I'm going and how I see myself at that point in time in our journey and where Brenda's at and what she had been through at that point in time in her journey. Mm-hmm. You know, we both had like, you know, is this really going to work for both of us? And it was Zach that was the glue behind that. But to me, the bigger part of it, as you mentioned, a lot of sports movies, it's the son chasing after, you know, dad's, you know,
ghost or
whatever, like you know, I want that, you know, him to be proud of me and I want to show him that I could do this. What I love about this story is I was doing that with my son. I was chasing after what he was showing us and what the life that he was living and making him proud of me, and we were both inspired by him. You know, I think too often we feel like, well, I'm the older one, I'm the father, I'm the leader, I'm supposed to impact and inspire, you know, my kids. Mm-hmm. And that to me was what was really cool about this story, is that it was Zach that was inspiring us throughout this whole journey. And, you know, we can be impacted and we can be inspired by anybody. It doesn't matter their age. It doesn't matter the role that we play. When you look at the life of our son and what he's taught us, that to me was a crucial part of this movie that was different to me than most sports movies.
No doubt.
But I mean, Kurt fell in love with my kids before he fell in love with me, and I get it. Like, they're easy to fall in love with, and I'm not. I wasn't. I'm not easy. So when he fell in love with the kids and we'd continue to date, we'd get ready to break up over something, and he would say, well, I get the kids. And I think, no, the boyfriend never.
I really think I might have.
Never.
I really think I might have.
So suddenly he wanted to work it out. And we made up and, you know, life went on. But that's the love. That's the kind of man that I want to marry, you know, that falls in love with my kids the way he did. And keep in mind, he was 21 years old. What 21-year-old starts dating a divorced mother of two, that's 25 years old, former Marine, cheated on, divorced? Like, he was asking for it. You know, he really was. But that's the kind of man I married.
Yes, and a child with needs.
Yes.
As well.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And the boy who plays Zach in this film is remarkable.
Oh, remarkable.
Just remarkable. And so it's just, again, it's just a beautiful thing to watch unfold. Kurt and Brenda Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another aspect of a sports movie that makes it terrific, checks the box, is Dennis Quaid is in it.
Yeah,
I mean,
no doubt.
I mean,
he always makes it better.
What a cast.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Quaid is
Vermeil.
Yeah. Was Vermeil as open? I mean, who plays Mike Martz in the movie?
Chance Kelly.
Was phenomenal.
Was Mike as really opposed to your presence there as he is in the film, or do they play that up a little bit?
No, he was. And yeah, I mean, the stuff in the movie, you know, is all, obviously, as it says, based on true story.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, you know, I can't tell you exactly what happened behind the scenes.
Yes.
But a lot of that is my interpretation based on my interaction with Mike Martz. So yeah, so a lot of the stuff you see in the movie, that checks every box of what really happened. Is, you know, Mike really trying to push me, because, you know, here's a guy coming from grocery store and arena football that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah.
And he's never going to get to see me between the lines until I'm between the lines with the ball in my hands. And so his goal was to go, let me see if this guy can hack it with as much pressure as I can put on him every single day. I mean, just to kind of go beyond that, I remember doing an interview about week four of the season, and it was Marshall and Isaac and Torrey and all the skill players on that team. I remember the interviewer asking them, okay, did you guys know Kurt was going to be this good? And it was Marshall, I think, that responded, and he's like, we actually thought Kurt was terrible because every day in practice, all he did was get yelled at. You know, all we heard was him getting yelled at time and time again. So, you know, none of us had any idea that he was any good because that's what we heard every single day. And so that was very true to form to what I felt like and what I was going through in those moments.
What was it like for you when he was going through that magic carpet ride?
Well, I mean, Kurt's so easily liked, and he would call and say, this man hates me. Hmm. And I think, what is wrong with that man? Because nobody hates him. I mean, you just can't. And so I thought something's going on that Kurt's not seeing, mm-hmm. you know, and this whole time watching him play football and me not being a sports fan or a football fan, you know, it was all like watching him try and just get that opportunity. So if this was the man that was going to stop that, I mean, it just didn't make sense how he couldn't like him. So I thought maybe he isn't that good. You know, maybe this guy sees that he isn't that good. So for now to understand and look back, and you see it in the movie, for the reason why he treated him like that, you know, to bring up, you know, who, what kind of man he really is and what kind of player he was going to be. Now it makes sense. But during the time, I thought, who is this man?
This Mike Marks man?
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that I love about the movie, maybe the best, is that, you know, there were different characters in the movie that when they're first introduced, you're like, oh, I don't like this guy. But as the movie progresses, you come to understand everybody's role in getting me to where I ended up. Mm-hmm. And that's what this movie is so much about, is that it's not about the, you know, where I ended up, because everybody knows that story. It's about how I got there and who shaped me along the way, from Zach to Brenda to, you know, my college coach, and there's some of my high school coach mixed into my college coach, and then Mike Martz and Dave Vermeil and all those people that had to step in their role, because without their role, you know, even at times when we didn't like their role, their role was key in shaping the person that that I would become.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, Kurt, because the guy who plays Mooch is a very handsome man, and I don't know, you know,
he's known in my family as good looking Mooch.
Yeah,
you know, that's how everybody references him. It's like, hey, is good looking Mooch gonna be there? Is good Mooch and good looking Mooch coming to the premiere? Good looking Mooch. So I'm just saying that's
looking.
No, I told you guys that, you know, he was a looker back in the day. He was a good looking guy back in the day.
How did that?
He's easy to look at, isn't he? He's easy to
good
look
looking
at.
Mooch.
Yeah.
Good looking Mooch. You could have turned him into, you know, nobody really needs to know that he's that good looking or used to be. Like, that's a casting choice that I thought you could have put your foot down.
I thought that was a good casting choice. You know, I mean, and again, even guys like Mooch, as much fun as we have with Mooch, I love in short role in the movie, but I love the role in the movie because it's so key to this whole thing. I mean, me getting cut and that scene there, I think, is a beautiful scene because you don't see very many pro athletes do what I did in that moment. But the dialogue between Mooch and I is that...
How accurate was that? Because I know we bust so many stones about this on Game Day
morning. That wasn't fully accurate. It wasn't Mooch that actually cut me specifically.
No, a homegrown made a decision.
Yeah.
Right?
And so we didn't necessarily have that conversation then,
right?
But we've had that conversation since then.
Okay.
And, you know, as Mooch always goes, no, you cut you. You know, I didn't cut you. You cut you. And it's 100% true that I did cut me, you know, that I wasn't ready for that moment, that I needed more seasoning and timing.
Yeah.
And so even like a moment like that, that you're bummed and, you know, again, we always blame Mooch for it. It was something that I needed at that point in time to develop into the player that I would be when I got back with the Rams. So all of that stuff, and again, there's truth in all of that. It's just how and when and how it played out to tie it into the movie, which I think they did beautifully.
Wow, it's so great. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you.
I really am, because it is a beautiful movie, and it's so well representative of you and who you guys are as a couple and as a you know, parenting group, which you are together, you know, and it ties everything all together, you know, Treasure House, which you have going on built in the Phoenix area, where folks like Zach can come and live self-sufficient lives, and your guys' success as a couple and as a family unit has led to that. I honestly, it gets me all choked up. What does your family think about this movie?
You know, we have 7 kids, and when they all watch it, Kurt and I are kind of shocked because, you know, they tease us like all kids tease parents. They're so tired of the stories. They've had to hear stories.
Yeah.
You know, we walked uphill to school, you know, in the snow, all those kind of stories. So when they watch it, they seem to appreciate us, you know, a little bit more. Like, I didn't realize that when you told that story that that's what it felt like. That the movie does that for them. And, you know, to know that Treasure House, which is a residential facility for adults with intellectual disability, that's my baby, because I realize that's what we're going to leave behind. Mm. You know, we're leaving behind a place that is just the first of hopefully many that give these young people a full life. And I'm raising 7 kids. I want them all to have a full life. It's all going to look differently for each child, but he deserves it as much as anybody else. So that is my honor to, you know, be able to say we put our mark on that place, and we need them all over the country, because there's other parents, you know, sitting in other states going, what about my child?
Yes.
What's my future as a young adult with disability? Where are my peers? Where is my community? Where is my tribe? And so that's our calling, and we know it, and our kids know it, that that's what we're going to leave behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, the best part of it is watching our kids see the movie and be able to see us in a different light. It was also the challenge of the movie because, you know, for instance, like my dad's not really a part of this movie, even though he's an unbelievable part of our lives and our kids' lives, and we have a great relationship. But that wasn't the story that we went down, because obviously I was raised in a single parent household with my mom and the connection with Brenda. And so, you know, it's the beautiful part of it, and sometimes it's the tough part, is you don't get to tell the whole story. You've got to figure out the right story. And the great thing at the end of the day is I believe we got the right story, and a story that's really going to connect with people.
You did, man. You did, too. You both did. I mean, it really is. Again, Susie and I, we walked out of the theater feeling good about ourselves. We felt good about our family. We felt good about the world. And we also did have a similar reaction that your kids had, like, because we've heard your story. Yeah. You know, we know you. We've had dinner. We've hung out. We know each other. And it's just like, wow. Okay. That's the way it felt when you were going through it.
Yeah.
And then we would see video too. We're like, yeah, Kurt made some good throws. And well, Marshall was that fast. You know, like, and it really is amazing seeing how it nails it. It just sticks the landing. And, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of people who haven't heard your story before or haven't seen it or have heard about it, but they're too young to remember it. And so you're leaving that too.
Yeah.
Amazing. Honestly, I could not be happier for you guys, you know.
And we couldn't be happier that you're happy.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I would have been happier instead of, you know, Steve Levy being the guy sitting next to Stewart on SportsCenter in the movie. It could have been me, but, you know,
I mean, if
is
you
that wrong?
Just, maybe
I mean,
you just needed to bash me back then. Like, this team's done for. Maybe you didn't say that.
Oh, no,
so we
believing.
Couldn't find that footage.
I was believing. I was in. I was all in. I was rallying around Kurt Warner from the start. That's what I was doing. And so did Dennis Quaid nail Vermeil? Did he nail
I
it?
Thought he did a great job with Vermeil. You know, because you look at the little mannerisms, as you talked about, like with Zach and myself, and just like the hands in that moment where we'll rally around Kurt Warner and we'll play good football. Just some of those little things. I thought he did a great job. And, you know, the bottom line is you want to hear from Coach Vermeil. Like, when you talk to Coach, how'd we do? Do we get? And he's like, oh, Dennis did a great job. He actually called him and sent him some wine. So that means he did
highest.
A good job.
That's
he sent him some
highest.
Of the Vermeil wine.
Yes,
so,
and tweet about it.
So he was happy with it. But yeah, I thought he did a great job with it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah, and Zachary nailed you. Did Anna Paquin get you down, Pat?
I think so. I would.
Okay.
I think her portrayal shows somebody that you would want in your foxhole and that you would also want to have a beer with. So I think she got me. I really do. And, you know, I'm not an easy person. So the fact that she cared enough to try and figure out why I believe what I believe, that says something about her. You know, she cared enough to get it right. And she did.
And I believe she got both sides. Because as Brenda said, sometimes I think she's always projected, you know, tough, strong, former Marine. And that's how a lot of people have seen her on the outside. Mm. But I've always seen there's a whole nother side to her. You know, it's that vulnerable side. It's the side that's, you know, the mom and the love and all of that stuff that sometimes gets hidden when they just show the headlines. And I thought that's what Anna nailed so well, is you got both sides of it. You get the tough, strong, but then you also get the vulnerable side that completes who Brenda is, and I think really shows her in the light that she deserves to be shown in.
Terrific. It's so great. Before I let you go, the choice to leave out of the movie the moment where Dick Vermeil, during August, kicked Jeff Wilkins in the leg. I'm wondering, you know, why that wound up on the cutting room floor, Kurt, or that didn't happen.
Not that I know of. That did not happen.
Well, I mandated to ask you what you think of Urban Meyer's firing. On Wednesday. By the way, during your premiere.
Right, exactly.
That happened during the premiere. Yeah, You came out of the theater the next morning.
I actually found out the next morning.
Okay.
And I was like, what just happened? And what was the story? But we've talked about it, you know, a number of times now. I still can't wrap my head around these stories that I've heard. I still in my mind go, that can't be legit. That can't have really had happened, you know, in numerous different ways. And so, I mean, I'm not surprised after all of this that he's fired.
Right.
You know, you just say to yourself, it's about time if all of this stuff is true. But it's just hard to fathom that a coach goes into a situation, has coached as long as he has had as much success as he's had, and all of these different things of really how he's treated people. Because to me, being a leader on a team and being a head coach is all about how you treat people and getting people to go to battle for you and want to run through a wall for you. And it's just stuff just kind of flabbergasts me that we keep hearing these kind of stories.
Yeah, it struck me that was the conversation we were having on game day morning throughout the entire year where he would have been hired and then went through the draft and then everything else that was going on, was how he would handle the losing. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he handled the losing the way that apparently he did at Ohio State. It just, he spread the losses 9 out over 7 years as opposed to 11 in 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way he handled losing in college, that's not the way you can do that in the NFL.
Well, I will say I've seen this game change people. I've seen this happen, is that they're so used to winning that once it starts to turn the other direction, they've never had to learn how to handle it. And, you know, we talk about that all the time. You got to be able to know how to deal with those kind of situations, because the NFL is completely different, whether you're a player or a coach. And some guys, it takes time. Some guys never get there where they can fully understand their part in losing because they're not used to having that part.
Well, in the opposite end of the spectrum, it's your guy's story on the silver screen on Christmas Day. So congrats.
Thanks.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you.
And you bet. Have a happy, merry Christmas.
And you really liked it.
I really did.
I really liked it.
Two enthusiastic thumbs up. And again, it's one of the conversations we had, Susie and I, was just like one of those things. It's just like, yes, we know them. Yes, we love them. Yes, we know their story. But that in its own right is a beautiful movie.
Thank you.
And a great sports movie on top of it. It's in the mix. It's awesome. It's terrific. Kurt and Brenda Warner, everyone should see American Underdog in a theater near you on Christmas Day. Back with more on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, rejoining us right now. So while we were in the conversation with Kurt and Brenda Warner, Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints, who was one of the first people in the sports world that I ever heard of to get COVID-19. Oh, yeah, certainly in early, the NFL. Yeah, yeah. I think it was like Rudy Gobert got it, yeah. You know, and that was the shocker that caused the NBA to shut everything down in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then Sean Payton got it, I think, because he was at Mardi Gras or something. Remember that? And he wound up getting it. And that was one of the shockers coming out of the NFL, is that somebody in the NFL community gotten COVID-19. He's got it again. He's got it again. And so he tested. He's immediately isolated. He's fully vaccinated, and he's gotten it. Telling you, Omicron is coming for all of us. Question is how mild do you get it and how not? I mean, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I'm not an epidemiologist. I just try to read, reputable sites to find out what's going on.
Yeah, Rich, too. And a couple minutes ago, Dan Graziano from ESPN posted that he's being told there are discussions between the league and the Players Association about rescheduling the Raiders-Browns game to either Monday or Tuesday.
Well, then that would mean that the next game for both of them would have to be affected. You know, because the Browns' next game is Saturday, Christmas Day against the Packers. Right. But these things are all possible. They can be done. They can be done. It can be done. There's a bye week between the playoffs and the Super Bowl, too.
Yep.
I know they don't want to do that, but once again, we're back in the world of the virus is driving the bus. Science driving the bus, as it should. So it's rare when you see a football player trending in the last 72, 90 hours. You click on it, and it has nothing to do with COVID. Ramondre Stevenson, your guy, trending on Twitter. You know why? Because Damian Harris has just been ruled out for tomorrow night's Patriots-Colts game.
Interesting.
So it's a Ramondre Stevenson game trying to go yard for yard, maybe Brandon Bolden with Jonathan Taylor. That's a dome game. So that'll be of interest for sure. Mm-hmm. Certainly if it's the only game tomorrow night. And so if you do it for Cleveland and the Raiders, you know, do the Rams raise their hand? Is Von Miller's put on it? He had it too before. This is his second go-around with COVID-19.
Yeah, the other game people are looking at is Philadelphia and Washington. Washington really hit hard with COVID list players as well, so. Keep an eye on. Looks like they got about an hour window here to kind of make a decision before the Raiders have to travel to Cleveland.
So this is it right now. This is go
time. Yeah, this is go time for this game, specifically Cleveland and Las Vegas.
Oh, they should push it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the Raiders, you're like, hey, you know, like that's the rule. It's just like, what is the rule? Like, I guess if half your team is out, what are you going to do?
Right. You know, there's only so many practice squad players and guys off the street you can sign to fill holes.
And here we thought this was going to be an easier go of it.
Jerry Jones said on The Fan earlier today that he thinks it will get to a point this week that they'll only test symptomatic players, even if you've been vaccinated.
I
don't know how that would work.
I don't know how that works either. So either this thing can get you sick and get other people considerably sick and you don't go looking for it, I don't know what that means. Because if you look for it and you find them and you can isolate them, then maybe it doesn't spread throughout your whole entire team.
Right. Or if you're vaccinated but you have no symptoms.
Well, I know now that what they're doing is everyone's just got to be masked up the whole time. They're going back to like last year's rules where you can't eat there, you can't do anything there.
Yeah, it's
they got to just lock it down.
To go,
just got to lock it down. Yeah. And the rules of vaccinated and unvaccinated, poof. Everybody's now in the same boat. So, Harrison Smith of the Minnesota Vikings is coming up next hour. TJ Jefferson, you ready for your big-ass grab bag?
Stay ready, Rich.
What's more likely? Does any of these outages reflect on what's more likely in any way, shape, or form, Chris?
I got to take a look, actually.
Yeah, go take a look. 844-204-RICH, a number for you to dial here on this busy Friday edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.